So for people who are on our special secret list of people we tell about this stuff,
goodness me.
It would be patron subscribers, but you know, that's too much like hard work. We are both role players, and there is one game in particular that is clearly very inspired. I mean, it name checks it in the introduction. Fiasco by Jason Morningstar, 2009.
One thing I didn't say about influences, well, this kind of film has had a huge influence on indie role-playing games, starting with Fiasco for sure. Mm. But you felt there were some other games. I think a lot of indie role-playing games are attempting to emulate this.
Well, I think your favourite Robin Laws's drama system from a few years later, and he openly acknowledges that he's been inspired by indie games, but I think there's a lot of this in there as well.
Yes.
The emphasis on dramatic rather than procedural scenes, which I think is a useful distinction. You know, nobody is worried here about whether A can hit B with a pistol shot. In effect, the situational modifiers are so huge that they are either automatically going to hit or automatically going to miss. And what matters is how they got into that situation.
These are games where almost that they do start with a knife through the hand, and you've got to work out how you got to that situation. They're games where you enter a scene saying, "This is what I'm entering the scene with," and then you narrate how the scene turns out. Ideally,
yeah, and for me at least, these are really games that I'm not very good at. I mean, I have played Fiasco a couple of times. I think it can go wildly off track because, well, in taking Blood Simple as an example, that had a, I think it's pretty clear to say they had those specific final moments in mind from the beginning, and everything is leading up to that. But in Fiasco, unless there's a particular reason to, everyone can just go off into their own story. And, you know, I want my thing, you want your thing, we don't even necessarily need to conflict over it. I think you need reasons to need things off the other characters.
Yes, I mean, well, my problem with all of the narrative-based games is that they all lead to narratives told by committee. Mm. You know, Blood Simple is not a film that was written by committee. It was written by Joel and Ethan Coen. It was very tightly plotted. It wasn't improvised. And, you know, all the films that these, you know, things like Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, you know, these films that are trying to be specifically emulated by these indie games, they're tightly plotted films by one or two writers to get to this level of escalation, which seems ridiculous, and they by following simple steps along the way. And that is a work of craft. That doesn't happen by accident. Yeah. I don't know that a role-playing table is the place to produce a work of craft, and I've never felt... I don't know. Different people have different ideas of where they want the narrative to go, and if you've all pulling in different directions...
Yeah,
I don't find it satisfying.
I mean, one of the relevant works here, I think, is Robin Laws's Hamlet's Hit Points from 2010, which basically borrows beat analysis from the Dream Park RPG by Mike Pondsmith 20 years earlier. And he's basically saying, you know, this is how you control the pacing. You alternate the procedural, here is where we get the next clue or whatever, with the dramatic... Here is where we have the interpersonal confrontations. And it seems to me that that's fine for linear fiction, where you basically, you have to imagine your audience member and then try to pace things to suit them. But with interactive fiction, you can read the mood at the table. And whether that's a GM controlling things or the players contributing as well, that doesn't matter, but everybody can get a feel of, okay, this is dragging, let's wrap it up a bit, or can we have some more of this really fascinating conversation, because this is fun.
Well, I think you've touched upon this. This is one of your things you always say, TM, that there is no narrative satisfaction in reading a story about people who come up with a plot to do a thing, to do a heist, and then do it without a hitch. Mm-hmm. But in a role-playing game, that is extremely satisfying.
Or at least it can be,
Or it can be. And I just think that is they're different mediums, and trying to force one into the other, I feel, is a bit misguided. You know, the GM has that power anyway. You know, the GM can always have the thugs walking through the door if he feels the pace is slacking and people aren't enjoying it, or he can see some people at the table are clearly, you know, if there's a discussion being dominated by two characters and they're just going back and forth.
Here's Bob the player who always wants a fight. Let's give him something.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that I need a, now here's the narrative bit, now here's the, now you must argue with this. Pick a character who you're going to have an argument with and play that out.
Yeah, I mean, in Hillfolk, he says what he's trying to do is make dramatic scenes interesting to game, because the failure mode that he's seen is, you know, A and B are in conflict and both of them basically refuse to back down.
Yes.
Because that feels like losing. And so what drama system does is give you some metagame reward for losing in situation A that you can then apply to do better at stuff later.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, okay.
But this whole, you know, framing everything you do in terms of A wants some sort of emotional thing from B and B doesn't want to give it.
Yeah.
Seems to me very, very limiting.
It also, my experience of the drama system when I played it, it creates a sense of conflict where there wouldn't have been one at the table of the people I was playing with. It creates this, right, who are you going to have a conflict with now? That's just, it's just not how I play games, and I don't tend to pick games with people who I'm like to have a large conflict with.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I find that I am a typical British male and I will avoid conflict where possible. And I don't know that I want a game that codifies it. I don't mind a bit in role playing, but I'd rather have it with an NPC than a player.
Yeah.
Usually.
Or, you know, I'm quite happy to do the occasional bit. I've forgotten whose quote it is originally, but tragedy is not the struggle of good versus evil, but the struggle of good versus good.
Yes.
And I'm fine with that. But it seems that reducing everything to the same basic model makes the big important stuff just as trite as the little stuff.
Yeah, if you're going to force this to happen every time you have a game, then it makes it less memorable. I don't know. For me, I don't know. The most memorable moments for me have come out of random chance from game. You know, oh my god, I missed that shot and it hit him. That was terrible. Or, oh my god, I failed this and now all the alarms have gone off. But it was something that didn't have to happen. It was just something that happened because of the roll of the dice. And, you know, more often than not, that falls flat or doesn't quite work, or the GM has to fudge it. But
the other thing is, I think what this approach is trying to do is make every session as tense, as dramatically seesawing as the film, the TV program, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't write this script in 98 minutes.
No, exactly. This is a script that's been worked on for years, and they didn't do it.
And they're professionals.
Six people. They're professionals. Their egos weren't invested in the characters that they're playing. You know, they have written these characters. They're a distance from them. In a role playing game, you're usually, depending on which indie game you're playing or which game you're usually at least representing one of the characters, and often
you want your guy to succeed.
Yeah, you're often identifying with that character. Or if you want him to fail, you want him to do it in a specific way. You don't want someone else to tell you how they've failed, necessarily. I should try Fiasco again. I know lots of people that absolutely love it. And we've tried
Same
again,
here.
But it was somewhat aborted.
That's a good example. This is a warts and all recording, which basically I don't think anybody's ever likely to hear, because it's part one of a Fiasco game. We were all going off in different directions, and I don't think any of us really knew how to pull it back together.
Yeah, I'd like to try it again, but often I'd rather play something else. I think you just have to be in the right mood for it, and also you have to know everyone else at the table's in the right mood for it. As a player, I'm not trying to big myself, because this is actually failing in a lot of ways, but I'm quite aware of what's happening around the table, and if someone isn't having a good time, frankly, I'm not having a good time, because I just feel their boredom or displeasure if they're tapping away at their phone or something. And so I need everyone to be as engaged, really, as I am, otherwise it brings me down.
The same as a GM.
This, in some way, it's harder as a GM because I'm less kind of empathic with the players, which is probably the wrong way around. I'm the same with board games as well, actually. I can't enjoy a board game unless everyone's enjoying it. But my experience with the drama system was there were at least two other players that clearly weren't enjoying it. And that brought me down, and I struggled. And I think that game was recorded, and we have been complimented on how well we did it. But all I can say is it didn't feel fun to play.
Yeah.
For us, and it feels forced, and I don't know. I don't feel in a role playing game. I'm trying to create art. I'm just trying to enjoy.
Well, that's the other thing. The output of a role playing game is the good memories and maybe some stories you can tell about it. It's not. I say this as somebody who records their gaming sessions and allows people to listen to them. And indeed, I listen to some other people's recorded games. But I think if we were trying to produce an audio drama, we would not start with a role playing group.
Absolutely not.
No. It's a different thing.
And I don't think people are listening to those sessions particularly for the drama. I mean, I think that eventually becomes, where's this story going to go? I think it becomes an undercurrent that drags people along. But I think really what they're listening for is, you know, people just enjoying things.
The banter. The here's the bit where they go shopping for half an hour.
Yeah. And I think the story lends a framework to that pulls them through it, much like Life of Brian pulls a series of sketches through, so you can watch it as a film instead of just a long series of sketches, which doesn't work very well. I think trying to produce it as a work of fiction, oh, I don't know, not for me, not for us. And I love these films. I love this type of film. I love this genre.
Grr, don't like these new role-playing games. Give me 10-sided rock.
Exactly. I don't really have more to say, but that would be my little supplemental on Fiasco specifically, but the kind of indie mindset in general. We're just grognards, aren't we? We might as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if you like that sort of thing, then you might well like that sort of thing. That's fine.